Three Sports Guns presents the Brushback Pitches, high and inside.
Usually a 90-mile-an-hour fastball thrown at the batter's head.
The three Gunthers ready to shoot off their opinions on everything sports. The Brushback Pitches.
Brushback Pitches podcast presented by Three Sports Guns, the two Gunthers, Blair,
Harold,
in partnership with My Retro Radio. Thank you to our on-site producer, Rick Mason. Kind of bevy of topics to talk about. Fantasy baseball season wrapping up. Fantasy football season getting started. NFL season, college football, everything. But I think the first thing we're starting with is the segment that I'm going to call Here We Go Again. There was no optimism. There was zero optimism in this room for Purdue football. Pops, Tyler already criticized me because I told him I checked out. And he said he never checked in. I said, well, I didn't really check in. I just peeked over the fence to see what was going on. Classic Purdue, right?
Yeah, I guess from my standpoint, it'd be like knowing that there was going to be a car crash and being like most of the goofs decided, let me see how that body's mangled. I've never seen it. Look, for all the talk talked about, Blair, you beat Eastern Kentucky. Congratulations.
Ooh,
what
last,
did that mean?
Last FCS game ever. While they're in the Big Ten, knock on wood.
What, they talk about going somewhere else?
I'm just knocking on wood now just in case.
Okay.
I doubt it because we're heading towards those super conferences, so...
If you had any inclination that you are better, because you're hearing that, right? I mean, you're saying this team's better.
Optimism.
Right, but I mean, I can't think of the guy's name who does it for Big Ten Network. He coached at LSU. He talked about this as a better Purdue team with an easier schedule. The problem is you got to win games. And once again, you managed to go against the better teams, more athletic, and you're really...
Not a Power 5
never
conference.
Really in the game.
No.
And then
I was there. They weren't.
You managed to throw a bunch of interceptions.
Five.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, the question is, what's your over-under and how many games he plays until we see Sindelar?
Well, I was quoted saying after the game that the reason Appleby was pulled last year, and I haven't decided. I think I still like Appleby over Blau. I think Appleby's the more talented quarterback. But I was quoted saying that last year the reason they pulled Appleby is because they said, can't turn the ball over. And I think Appleby played three games, and I think he had five interceptions in three games. Blau has five in two.
So are they going to kick him out of state? Is what you're saying, if I understand your logic?
Well, based on the way it's gone, he'll lose his job and he'll transfer. So, yeah.
I think...
I would put it... Their first Big Ten game is Wisconsin. They play Nevada and then Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure. And so I would say... If they don't beat Nevada, he will be done by the end of the Wisconsin game.
Fortunately, that's 1-3, and Nevada got smacked by Notre Dame 39-10, which makes it, I'd say, a toss-up with Purdue.
I would, because the only reason I held out hope for that game last week was because Nevada played an FCS school week one as well, and apparently almost went to overtime or did go to overtime, so I was like, oh, maybe. I look at the rest of the schedule. Northwestern is the only one Purdue has a chance at. IU is a better program than Purdue.
Yes, which is bad.
The only other one I would look at is Rutgers, and I'd still take Rutgers over Purdue. So it's potentially a 1-11 season.
Well, here's a couple things. I can't think of the guy who does play-by-play for Purdue.
Newton.
Okay, Newton said something that was somewhat negative, and I was like, boy, I like this. He said this is a matchup between a team used to losing and a team used to winning. I'm like, that's about as critical as they get. You know, the Big Ten Network.
Yeah. That's why we like Purdue Hammer Network. And Rails. Hammer and Rails is a John Purdue member, but actually criticizes the program.
Yeah, he called it the death knell of the Hazel era, which I would have think last year would have been enough to say that, but not.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. 6-30, I think, gets most coaches fired in three seasons.
I don't know if you saw the post-game interview, but Hazel was quoted as saying, what, we lost one game? We got one loss, right? All right, we're not going to run here like, you know, like we're Chicken Little and the sky is falling. He said that twice. I think now he's gone from a guy that's maybe trying to be optimistic, positive, to somebody that sounds like, to me, he's kind of in the defensive mode of like, now you guys are against me. You're starting to see that, I think.
We've both met him. We know that you, I'm assuming, would agree. He's an intelligent person.
I mean, as coaches go, he's... As far as I could construe.
So he has to realize it. Second of all, I did not watch the post-game conference. I was done. I didn't even make it to the fourth quarter of the game I was at.
That was quoted on the Hammer and Rails article.
Okay. If he's getting defensive, I have a problem with that. I understand. It's your livelihood. Whatever. You got to win, man. Don't give me... You've got 6-30. You shouldn't have got to coach this year. And for you saying that the Hammer and Rails said it was the death nail, that's what Tyler said. Tyler wanted him fired after the game because... What I said, here I go again, this segment, that's what this is. Purdue is playing an FCS school and two not Power 5 conference teams in Nevada and Cincinnati. Now, you can make the argument Cincinnati is a pretty good program overall. Nevada, not as much. Purdue should be at least competitive. They were not. They missed a chip shot. They did. So here's the other one. So Purdue's, one of Hazel's goals this year was discipline, right? Because they always get stupid penalties. He said discipline is not getting dumb penalties and was not turning the ball over.
Right.
Well, I don't think they had any penalties last week. That's great. They threw five interceptions, and they threw them at killer times.
Give them credit. They at least checked the box off. Turnover, check. Got it.
Tell me if you heard this, because I was talking with a friend the other day about how I'm solely blame the press at this point on Matt Painter. He tried to tell me that, well, the point guard's got to handle it. I said, 15 years, it's Matt Painter. Tell me if you heard this before, especially under Hazel era. Field goal kicker misses a chip shot. We can't make field goals to save our lives. He kicked it from the 13 and missed it wide right.
Well, but that right there is, if you want to make a list of bad programs, that's one of them. Okay, you I mean, lack of discipline, which is stupid penalties and turning the ball over, and another one is just really bad special teams, and then Purdue checks all three of those off on the box. The only people that would get any optimism would be the people that buys the tickets or is a member of the John Purdue Club and bleeds gold and black. Hazel's managed to turn a program that was probably, what, maybe the bottom third, certainly in the bottom half of the worst programs in America, and probably made it arguably the worst football program, at least in the top five in the Power Five conferences.
The only, I had this discussion too, the only Power Five conference that I, or the only Power Five team, because I went and picked out the worst Power Five team in all five conferences. It's Purdue, Kansas, I think you would say Vanderbilt, Boston College probably, and then Colorado. I would take all of those except maybe Kansas over Purdue.
I think it's to be expected that Hazel's going to get defensive, because he's not going to say, well, you know, I gave it a good run. For the betterment of the team, I'm gonna fall on my sword. He's gonna say, he's gonna fight it out, and he knows his players are gonna hear the constant criticism. So one of the tactics you do is it's us against them is a motivating factor. Will that do any good here? No. Because this team is completely lacking of talent.
Yep.
The recruiting is not getting better, and it's pretty obvious.
Worse.
You bring in this Ross Ells, who coached at Nebraska when Nebraska's actually defense is pretty solid. And the Purdue defense, which last year was pretty solid, is a sieve this year. 500
they
yards both games.
Stop Cincinnati. I don't know what – I didn't look at the final numbers, but I know – again, I left it the
over
fourth
500
quarter.
Yards.
I left the fourth quarter. I think Cincinnati going in the fourth quarter was something absurd, like 20 of 23 on third down.
And they said Cincinnati was really conservative after they got up. Well, I mean, if they were serious, would they put a roll up 600 yards on Purdue?
It was awful. I didn't have any hope going into the season, because you put the over and under at 1.5, and I think you and Tyler both took over. I took the under, and I'm still taking the under, but it's to the point I'm mad at this program now, because this is ridiculous. We're a Power 5 conference. This is not okay.
Well, I'm past the point of angry. It's just a joke. I don't know if Bob Bensky's supposedly in charge right now, right? Not numb nuts.
I think September 1st was his takeover day.
Hopefully he's paying attention to this rubbish.
We've talked about it. The Hazel, I don't think, makes it through this year. He'd have to get at least to a bowl to make it through. So it just comes down to whether Babinski's true to his words or they're going to just keep Hazel on because of the money. We'll see. And that's the other thing. That's the other problem with this, and what makes me so mad about this program is that you could argue before Hazel showed up, because Hazel was a MAC coach, that you could take those MAC coaches who had some track record, right, and put them at Purdue. If you're a MAC coach now, you're not going to go to Purdue. You'll wait till the job above Purdue comes along.
Right. I don't know what they're going to have to do to get a guy there. I give up. I've given up with this program. It's a joke. Like I said, the football program makes the basketball program look like the Duke basketball program, and that's why you're viewing it through the eyes. So that's why Painter seems to be has such a favorable opinion.
I'm ready for that
opinion. Frustration,
too.
I'm not really. This athletic organization or administration drives me crazy. Anyway, yeah, if they lose next week, when they play Nevada, I think I'll buy. I want him fired. I want his shirt taken off. I want his hat taken off. I want his headset taken off and said, don't even go in the locker room. You got 10 minutes to get off these grounds.
We're not talking about basketball yet, but can I just say, I'm also frustrated with the fact that Purdue in the non-conference didn't schedule anybody. I don't remember where
basketball.
Yeah, I don't
they
remember
never
where
do.
Huh?
They never do.
No, but I'm saying I don't remember where their tournament is. But they play Villanova and Louisville, and the only reason why is because they got Nova and the Gavitt tip-off, so they have no control over that. And they got Louisville in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, no control over that.
I think Painter's smart enough to realize he needs to get as many wins as he can in the pre-Big Ten, because they'll kind of bumble around in a Big Ten, and then you know, with the talent they got, where I think they could get in the tournament and lose the first round. But, you know, if he can, I don't know what to say.
I'm glad we extended three more years of that. I'm super pumped about that. Oh, we're not even to the beef segment yet. Okay, so let's do college football.
We might make this the entire beef segment.
It is, because I hated this week of college football. I get that people got to play their cupcakes, but, man, you couldn't balance out the first week and the second week just a little bit?
Well,
this week sucked.
That's the problem with these pre-conference games. You know, college football is going to have to take a look. The first opening week was had such
awesome.
Great matchups. Then there was such a clunker and a stinker that the game on ABC was Virginia Tech and Tennessee, just because they played it on Bristol Motor Speedway.
Dumb.
I could care less.
Agreed. Tennessee massively overrated.
But they won. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You'll stay in the top 20. But this week we're going to start getting some conference matchups that are noteworthy.
Which is kind of nice. How do you feel about that they have conference games this early?
Well, the SEC and others started doing that because they get more attention and you draw more people. And I think this is...
Well, because I think this past week, Louisville and Syracuse played because we made that as one of our pick-ems, so they had conference games this past week.
Right. The Big Ten, I think you said, is coming around to this.
Yeah, because Michigan State and Wisconsin, I think, play this week.
Michigan State goes to Notre Dame.
Okay, I don't know what I was looking at then. Maybe that's next week.
We can say the SEC, Blair, is really one of the first big ones because I think last... It would have been the week three last year. The LSU went to Mississippi State, I think, and won.
Right, and week three's been that was A&M, or not A&M, Old Miss and Bama, right?
Right. So this week we got Alabama, Mississippi.
Oh, they got that one circled, Pops.
Mississippi's getting 10 points.
Okay. Wait, is at Mississippi? Interesting.
Here's a big one, Ohio and at Tennessee.
I don't care.
Apparently the high schools around there are busy that week.
Right.
Florida State at Louisville. We're going to find out how legitimate Louisville is.
Yes, we are.
Real quick.
Not to mention pretty good. They beat Mississippi. Another good test for that. What, Francois his name? The redshirt freshman quarterback.
Well, oh, wait a minute. Here's the game of the week. Colorado at Michigan.
We already know they don't play anybody, Pops. Thank you for pointing it out.
No, I need to point it out to those idiots up north that your guys' schedule's a joke.
It is.
Mississippi State goes to Louisville, or excuse me, LSU.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they beat South Carolina because I've gone from not really caring to I'm cheering against what's-his-face, the coach.
Muschamp?
Yeah, I'm cheering against him.
Yeah, Muschamp issues?
I'm 100% against him. He shouldn't have got a job. That's part of the reason
Texas
why I'm cheering against him.
Texas A&M goes to Auburn. I only say this because Auburn came so close to beating Clemson.
Yep, who almost lost again to Troy at home.
And this is the team I'm all in this for. There's two. I'm Colorado, but I have no chances of that one. Here's the other one I'm all in. Michigan State's at Notre Dame.
You picked Notre Dame in the preseason.
That right, but I'm rooting for Michigan State because I hate the Notre Dame.
Well, Notre Dame lost to Texas, and I know it's early, so who knows how good Texas is, how good Notre Dame is, but maybe Notre Dame's not as good as everybody thinks.
They're not that good. Ohio State at Oklahoma.
That's the big
arguably
one.
Arguably the game of the week.
If game day doesn't go there, it's a travesty.
I don't know what the hell those guys think half the time, so it's possible they ain't going to go. Georgia's at Missouri. USC at Stanford.
Okay, decent.
Texas at Cal.
Don't care.
Probably not worth noting.
I mean, at least it's better this past week. I think the big thing that saves this is I know that you normally have some decent non-conference tilts because you have the thing now where they go in Dallas and then there's the one in Georgia or Atlanta or whatever. So I think those have helped. But I think the thing that saves this is you have some of these other matchups like the Oklahoma-Ohio State one is a good one to have. So I think the non-conference is definitely a better overall schedule this year.
I think what college football is going to have to do, Blair, is if they're smart enough, you can't pile all these opening week games on the first weekend and the next weekend, you and I are going to Georgia to play because they can't find a high school to play.
They almost lost to Nichols.
What you really should do is try to stage these so you got some good games week one, good games week two, and by week three, the SEC starts playing conference games. Looks like the ACC starts playing conference games because,
right.
Like I said,
yeah.
it went from the opening week to in week two, and I think, granted, college football makes a crap load of money, but that's my suggestion.
Do you think it had to do with the fact that it was the opening weekend of the NFL?
I don't think it has anything to do with it because they play Saturdays. I just think that it's those are the typical. They only thought the college football thought about the opening weekend because they had it all to themselves,
right.
And then they didn't think anything about the next weekend on a Saturday. So it's the traditional clunkers.
It was bad,
you know,
it was so bad.
That's actually a factor why
I went to the Purdue game because I was offered tickets for the FCS game, the Eastern Kentucky one. I said, nah, there's actually games on TV that I really want to watch.
So instead of being bored and at
I went
home
tortured myself
TV,
for 3 quarters.
You went
and
watched it live and found out it was worse.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Well, then I could come here and tell everyone that I watched it. Okay, this beef segment. I'm not doing last thing on Purdue. We're gonna do fantasy baseball. So you know how one of the things I absolutely hate because we know how uninventive the Purdue offense is, right?
Yes.
One of the things I can't stand
the
is that they run
program, but yes, especially.
You know how Purdue they run that read option look, but it never seems like the quarterback ever gets to actually make the read. Like it's already a set play.
It's a handoff, right?
Right. So. I was quoted to say the entire second quarter they kept doing it again and again and again and again and again. And I was like, just keep it, and you could run for like 15 yards because Blau is not a slow guy. And
no,
on fourth down, they finally let him keep it, and he. What do you know? Nobody was there, so he picked up the fourth. It was like 4th and 3, and he picked it up. But I can't stand that. Like, if you're gonna run it, let him occasionally make a read. He's a quarterback for a reason. They're supposed to be able to. He should be able to read a defensive end. I get safeties,
agreed.
Cornerbacks, that's one thing. He should be able to read the defensive end.
Well, we talked about this. Hazel said he was going to come in and it was going to be power running, right?
Oh, my God.
And then it went to West Coast, and then it went to read option. Is that what they're running now?
I would call it more of a spread.
A spread?
Blau's pretty much in shotgun constantly.
Purdue just doesn't have the athletes to run that.
Well, that's the other thing that drives me crazy is that you would think at this point, right, you are now 7-31 in 3 seasons and 2 games. Where are the trick plays? You suck. Blitz all the time. Run hook and ladders. Run the Trojan horse play. Where are those at? I mean, this is one of the reasons that I can't stand it either, because he could say that he knows he has to win, and I hope to God he knows he has to win. So if you realize that and you realize that these traditional offenses aren't going to work, run trick plays. At least make it interesting and give yourself a chance here. Because if you're going to line up, your 22 versus another team's 22, Purdue's going to lose 11 or 10 times this year.
I agree, but again, Hazel's going to thinking more in the typical approach, and then I think they think that's
not going to work.
That when you run trick plays, that's just a team that's trying to win on gimmicks. Well, Purdue really needs to try to win no matter how.
Yeah.
I mean, my suggestion is telling the teams that you're going to delay the game until Sunday. Then maybe you'd be the only one on the field, and it might take it might take you 2 quarters, and you might actually score. But it's a joke. Can we move on?
Bad.
I think we're done with
okay.
this.
Fantasy baseball. Moving on to.
Can we move on from this too?
You wanted to talk about it. You
I was
said
based
last
on
week
the projection that I was going to beat you.
Said last week we should do a fantasy baseball update. It basically played out the way that we predicted.
No, I mean
from the standpoint of not to toot our own horns, but our matchup was the definitive, the deciding one.
By all indications,
it would appear that way.
That means you can't lose to Daniel then.
No, that would
because
be
that
bad.
Would kind of like deflate your balloon. And then this
yes.
crown of anointing yourself as the best overall fantasy player, would
true
that would kind of take a bow and arrow and shoot that in the backside too. So you're going to have to beat Daniel.
So how about your reflections? Because I'm going to win. So how about the reflections from a less biased source on both games?
Daniel's team wins the trade that Tyler made, which is to me you could call that a white flag. I think he obviously paid attention when Reinsdorf did that in 97 when Sox were 3 games out and traded everybody they could. That's what Tyler did with Daniel. I think that's probably enough. Johnny's checked out. He was what 18-3.
Yeah.
If he made the moves where I think he could probably win this. I don't know why he's not playing. He's more better than I, and I think
don't know
that
either.
Unfortunately,
I mean, that's what cost him because he had. DeGrom, is that the one that's out for the Mets?
Yes.
He has DeGrom in his rotation and then Velasquez, who pitched his last pitch last week, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, so he has those. He doesn't run a traditional closer, so he's starting 7 pitchers, but he's only got 5.
My team, apparently the offense decided that they like Velasquez, that, hey, we're done. We beat the number one seed. It's Labor Day. We're going to start going home playing football.
You actually got some pretty good pitching, though.
Well, I told you that I thought my pitching was better than
yours,
and your
that.
Offense was better than mine, and that bore itself out because
You had the worst start, but the rest of your starts negative. Were pretty good.
Maeda had five. Everything else was great, but I knew that Friday I was going to have to get up. But I don't, honestly don't think it would have mattered because your offense kept – you had four guys yesterday hit double figures, and I had one. And I think I can point it really to one guy, you getting Trey Turner, Blair. He's really injected a lot of life. He probably scored 60 points this week.
Close to it. Yeah.
So if there's one guy that really made the difference between you and I, it's getting him, because I've got him on my Roto League team, on which I'm like streaking towards maybe trying to repeat there, and he
don't
is
care.
Really, I do, because I can win $150.
Oh, okay. I don't care, but congratulations. I hope you win money. It doesn't mean anything when it comes to our actual fantasy discussions with the family.
It means something to me, and the fact that it's bragging rights for guys who used to work with. Anywho, he's really helped to invigorate that lineup, and I think Turner, because he constantly... is on base, and I mean he's hitting 350 something like that.
Yeah, I mean for me personally, I drafted Murphy, so that's the fact that Turner's played so well has only made Murphy that much more valuable because Turner gets on in front of him.
Yeah, Murphy's not going to repeat this year at 21 home runs. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No,
but your team was better than mine. I don't like to say that, but it is what it is. And
well, I mean,
my team's set up to
let's be honest,
try to beat Johnny next
week.
It's
a weekly
football.
It's a weekly thing. I mean, there's no denying you got the best pitching this week. My offense just Friday. It's like you said, because Thursday you closed the gap to It was Friday.
Friday
I
was
up
2 points.
I was up 30 points going into Friday. You had three starts to my one, and so that was the day that you had to make hay because at that point we both had five starts left, and you scored 100 some points, right?
Yeah. The problem, Blair, is the last time you and I played, I was down on that Saturday. My team hit six home runs, and I had a couple starts.
Crushed me.
I kept waiting for my team to hit home runs, and it's Sunday evening, and I'm still waiting. Unfortunately, it's too late. So, your team is on to the championship with Daniel.
So let me ask you one question here for next week, because we already talked about it a little bit. So you and I had 11 starts. Cool got skipped, so you ended up with 10. This week.
I hate that, too. I mean, because he was being recommended amongst Thompson, I think he's an ESPN guy, Blair. He was ranked, like, number 25, like, his starters, and he gets skipped. But go ahead.
So we set up the week with 11. And so next week, and part of the reason I ended up with 11 is because I had Hernandez and Sale, who were obviously on my team already. They both had two apiece. And then I picked up Weaver and Eckhoff, who had two apiece, so that got me to 8. This upcoming week, I'm right now have it set up to have 9, and I'm kind of curious as to what you think, because so my starters are Duffy at reliever has 2. I picked up Boyd for Detroit, who has 2, and then I have Quintana, who has 2, so that's my 6, and then I have O at my other reliever spot, and then my right now I have Arrieta in and Sale in and Martinez. And that's 9. It's 9 starts because Boyd, Duffy, and Quintana have 6, and then Sale, Martinez, and Arrieta are 1 apiece. So 9 starts and 0. Well, do you think that I should roll with that? Because my theory, my thought process is that so this week I didn't have any negative pitching,
right?
But for the most part, I mean, your starts were way better than mine. I got a couple of pretty good ones, but for the most part, my pitching just happened to not go negative.
Right.
And so my question is, should I try to get some more starts? Because according to what I looked at for Daniel's lineup, and it's kind of hard to tell because you can't look at anyone else's team for the next week.
Well, you can starting late Sunday evening.
So I'll check that later. But he, according to what I've seen, will have 7 starts with 2 closers. And his offense had some... moment. So I guess my question is, because I told you the two holes in my offensive lineup this past week were Brad Miller for Tampa and Longoria, and I've replaced both of them. I picked up Jackie Bradley Jr. because what's his face? Ed dropped him.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything.
He's had a couple home runs this week.
Well, I replaced Hosmer Blair and I replaced Ryan Braun, and as much as you could call my playoffs, this might be the revenge of Ryan Braun because he had like 40 points, and the guy that I picked up for him maybe scored 10. Just be careful of that. Obviously,
well, that's my question because
Martinez and hold on, I don't know who Martinez goes against.
Cincinnati, I think they're at
where?
Cincinnati.
And the problem is. Obviously, Rich Hill is. You can't plus start him, no matter irrespective of how good he was. And Kershaw is going to need probably another start. I think you don't really have any other options because there's nothing available on a waiver wire that
Not
I can
really.
See. So you're probably going to. The best I could do is probably Had I gone with my typical guys, I think I would have had it. I would have this week's matchup would have been a lot closer. I think just you go with who you got. So I'd probably run with them.
See, that's what I was going with, because Boyd's the only one I picked up. The rest of them are guys that were already on my team, and so I was shooting this week to try and go. Because I picked up Weaver and Eckhoff for my matchup with you, and they paid off.
If I ever see that Eckhoff guy, I'm going to kick him in the nuts.
They paid off, and so my
scoreless duel with Max Scherzer.
Jeez. Yes, that was great.
No, it wasn't great. It sucked.
It was awesome.
Stunk.
And so my thought process was that since overall it didn't bite me because I didn't have any negative pitching. But I guess my thought process was is that since I have some of those guys, I mean, because the reason I picked up Boyd is because he hasn't gone negative in like 10 starts, and then and Arrieta worries me, but he's playing at home against Milwaukee.
So I'd probably go with what you got.
Okay. Let's talk actual baseball here, Pops. The Cubs are not slowing down. Good sign. Starting to get everybody back here, so what do you think here? Because the Dodgers still kind of up in the air because, what, Kershaw is still trying to come back. Hill apparently can't get over his blister issue. The Giants, of course, are still not playing well.
Well, that's the guy. That's the team we should play the taps for, Rick, because their season is just being torpedoed. Are they going to be the first team, best record before the All-Star game, worst record after the All-Star game? They're playing themselves out of the playoffs now.
Yeah, I think they're second wild card. I think they're only a half game up on the Mets.
Jesus. It looks like the Cubs, but obviously I think Kershaw will get one start next week, but he projects for two starts the following week. If he gets going, that kind of will throw a different monkey wrench in there. But it looks like the Cubs. But here's the problem. Expectations could be a bitch.
Yep.
And the Cubs will be the beyond odds-on favorite to win the World Series. How are they going to handle that? And that's the $64 question. They played the young kids last year to get playoff experience for this, something like this, so right. that you'd be ready to do this. So I think they're going to be the favorite to win this. And can they handle the pressure?
Yes, because we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, right? And we said that if Kershaw – because I asked you if Kershaw gets back to Kershaw, what did you think? Because I think we're in conclusion here that we think it's going to be Dodgers and Cubs, right, for the NLCS.
At this point, I it would appear that way.
Do
I mean,
you think Washington can get there?
No, because they don't have Strasburg. They don't have Ross. That Scherzer's been okay. Then you got, what, Gio Gonzalez and – I like Tanner Roark, but I don't think that matches up to the Cubs. The offense definitely favors the Cubs. The bullpen, if Rondon can come back and actually find the strike zone and Straub's healthy, I think the bullpen favors the Cubs. The Washington, I think there's another team that's going to be bounced in the first round, and people are going to be like, what happened? I mean, it's possible they could beat the Dodgers, but I and that's two teams lately that get into the playoffs and just say we're done.
That's gonna be the matchup, right? Because Washington is the second seed, right?
I don't know. I would guess because more likely the wild card team plays the Cubs, who by far have the best record. So yeah, I mean,
right. Which right now would be it's the Giants and Cardinals, but obviously, like I said, I think the Giants are only half game up on the Mets, and I think the Cardinals are only like a game or something above the Giants because they can't beat Milwaukee,
right? Well, this Cardinals, one year ago, where the Cardinals had this thing wrapped up in advance, and the Cubs were the second wild card team. Let's hope that doesn't come back, and the Cardinals be the wild card team, and they play the Cubs again and knock them out.
That one.
Could you imagine what the stories would be? Let's say if the Cardinals somehow have to go on the road, win a wild card game, go into Cougars, Cubs be the road team, the Cubs have home field, and they lose that.
Yeah, that would be. Wouldn't you say that would be kind of our fandom in general, but also that would be typical Cardinals? Because that's why I said that, because we talked on my fantasy team, we talked about how I picked up Owen, that was a good pickup, and the reason why is because I knew the Cardinals were starting to get hot because I didn't expect them to not lay down, and then they were charging towards a wild card. I mean, what do you think about that pitching matchup? Because the Cardinals have been kind of piecing everything together all season long.
Well,
I mean, they're winning.
That
but
charge to the wild cards kind of got derailed in Milwaukee, right? The St. Louis is okay, but I think they'll get there, but there's no guarantees with the way they're playing, the way the Giants are playing, the way the Mets are playing. Florida's still somewhat in this. I think Pittsburgh still has a shot, but I don't think they're going to get in it. You would think the Cardinals are going to get in it just because they have experience in the pedigree of the team and the organization, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they could just throw their cleats out there and the Mets would be like, we surrender, you get the playoffs, but it just doesn't happen. They're going to have to win it. I would think that they will get in. Boy, I kept waiting for the Giants to kind of somebody to go throw water on them. Someone said, "Well, that was a bad dream." Actually, it's not a dream, and they just—I don't know what the hell's happened. Because Bumgarner has really gone down, the offense has gone down, and they've been want to do this in these even numbered years. But by now, something—they flipped a switch, and then they're just going to playoff mode. But the problem is, they're running out of time.
Yeah,
I think the Cardinals could probably get in. I still think the Giants get in, but I think the Cardinals probably beat the Giants because the Giants are really a limping team that maybe age has caught up with them. The bullpen with Casilla has really kind of imploded a couple weeks. I mean, they've lost games so many ways. The newest way is now the closer's blowing games. So, I mean, the Giants are basically losing games every way you can.
So, based on that, who would – because obviously Baumgartner would be who pitches for San Francisco. Who would the Cardinals pitch in game one?
Wainwright, probably.
So that would mean the Cubs get, what is it, Martinez has pitched pretty well this year. I think he's still sitting around at 3 ERA. Is it, who else? Because they've been patching things together left and right. It's the same way with the offense.
Your guy, Weaver?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know, because it's not Lynn. Is it Lynn or Garcia who's there? Is it Garcia?
I think Garcia's pitching. I don't know who else is the fourth guy, but whatever they're doing, they're making it work. I mean, that team is just loaded with injuries. They're still, I mean, they lost Lynn in the beginning of the year. Wainwright's been down. Walk is still out. I don't think he's going to come back and pitch. But
Holiday has been a big disappointment.
Yeah. And I think Grichik has been a disappointment because they expected a lot better out of him, and he's been up and down in the minors. Wong has been a disappointment. They're still right there. I think you probably get Carlos Martinez, who's not pitching as well this year as last year, but he's starting to pitch better now. You give the Cardinals a puncher's chance, but I think the Cubs win that. I think the Dodgers beat the Washington Fire, then it's Cubs-Dodgers for the NL.
So to settle this here's the last question, Cubs, we can talk about the AL. So from what I've read, people think the Cubs are thinking that they'll go Lester game one because he's been the most consistent pitcher this year, and then Hendricks, because of his home splits, you would go game two, and Arrieta would pitch in game three, and then probably for at least the divisional series, then you'd go Lackey. What do you think? Is that what you'd do?
I don't know. You've been working on this. If I didn't know any better, Blair,
well, I think we were both expecting.
You and Madden have been kind of talking about. He's called Blair. What do you think? You know,
we thought Hendricks was going to slow down,
put
right?
Hendricks in the start of game two. You know, I never thought about that. And somehow you're an assistant to the assistant to the assistant manager. No, it makes sense. He continues to pitch great, but it reminds me of Arrieta, who's pitching so well above what everybody thought. That he baffled Pittsburgh, and then he goes against the Cardinals, and they just beat him up. And then just after him goes against the Mets, and they beat him up. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But that probably seems like the best strategy. But don't be surprised if Madden comes up with something else we haven't thought about and decides to go another way. I mean, it seems like that'd be the way to go. But
well, what would you do?
I would probably talk to you and then see if you could get a hold of Madden and say, I'm just his dad. I don't know anything, but I'll go along with you guys. Say, look, it seems to make sense. But like I said, they got number crunchers there who might come up saying, if let's say he goes to St. Louis, then maybe he pitches even better in St. Louis because, let's face it, between Wrigley and St. Louis is a better pitcher's park,
right?
Unless the wind's blowing in, which by the time October comes around, we don't really know because with the weather and everything, but that's what I would do, but I mean, don't be surprised if Madden do something else because he does think outside the box, and wins.
Truth. Okay, so let's flip over to the AL side here. The East got really interesting the last couple weeks, right? That's still really close, the AL East.
Nobody wants to win it from what I can tell.
Apparently. And then Cleveland kind of righted the ship a little bit, right? But the Royals have stormed back. Detroit, I think they started to fade a little bit, but they're kind of still in the picture, aren't they?
They're in the wild card. Now, they're playing a lot better, the Tigers. So, I mean, you know, that's as close as we thought. And I think the one is I picked Houston to play Texas, I think, when we did preseason.
Way, way back, yeah.
And Texas, boy, you'd call this kind of a sophomore slumpish jinx or whatever you want to call it. And Detroit's 70 games out, but they're in a wild card. Cleveland's 83-59. Texas, 9 games up on Houston. They're 85-59. So Texas, you know, one seed. Cleveland's your two. Boston, 80-62. 2 games up on Baltimore and Toronto. The Yankees are only 4 back.
Yeah, that was the other thing, too, because they called up, was it Judge and Sanchez, and then those two went crazy.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, what do you think A-hole thinks about the fact that they were floundering around .500, he retires, and then they've gone 10 games over now?
Well, it's his fault. obviously.
The wild card, yes, of course. The wild card right now is Baltimore and Toronto.
Right.
Detroit 2 out, the Yankees 2 out, Houston 3 out, Seattle 3.5 out. We still have what? 3 weeks left to go, I think.
Can we where do you want to put that line? I kind of want to I'm not really giving Houston a whole lot of chance there.
No. I don't think Seattle either.
No,
I mean,
well, that's
Kansas City's 4. That's ridiculous. The top 7 teams are separated by 4 games.
That's nuts.
Which is what baseball wants.
Yeah.
I don't know where I don't think the Yankees are going to be able to sustain it.
Sanchez definitely slowed down.
Right. I still think Baltimore gets in, and I'm going to take Detroit over Toronto.
Okay. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, obviously we like to see that close race, but I think you can make the argument that you jokingly made with the AL East that it kind of seems like, as opposed to, I mean, they're talented teams, but it kind of seems more like it's crunched back together because teams have slowed down in the second half.
Well, it has. Real quick in the NL wild card, San Francisco is one game up on the Mets. St. Louis is a half game behind the Mets.
Okay.
And then Miami's five.
That would be
so
today's
stuff.
So
it's three teams fighting for two spots, where versus the American League, you've got 7 teams still in this. But I think, you know, to be honest with you, the Yankees are 2 games back to Detroit. I think, again, I'll take Baltimore and Detroit.
Okay, so what do you make of the pennant picture then for the AL side? Because just before you gave us the NL update, I said it seems like teams have slowed down, so it makes it that much harder to get a read on even the teams that are sitting in top
Texas
of the divisions.
Texas and Cleveland, I think I've basically been kind of...
That's who you took after the trade deadline.
Right. I took Texas to win this, and I think Darvish is pitching really... Darvish is really starting to pitch like he did in 12.
Hamels has really started to slow down, though.
Well, that's probably... You figure that's about due. They lost Jeffress, who's in rehab right now because he likes the alcohol.
Yeah.
That hurts the bullpen. The offense has kind of slowed down, too. Cleveland, I think, probably better pitching staff, but the offense is better. Texas is better, but Texas will have the home field. I think Texas wins that in 7 games.
So Texas Cubs then?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Who won the All-Star game? Was it the American League again?
We still haven't looked it up. I think it's the AL.
I think the Cubs, I think they're a better team, but I'm probably going to jinx them, which means we'll wake up tomorrow and Wrigley Field exploded, and nobody will figure out why because I'm taking them. But I think the Cubs win in probably 6.
I like it. I like it a lot, and then I'll win a fantasy championship.
Don't blame me then if they don't win.
Well, it's like you said, so you make the argument in the NL side. Because you talk about how San Francisco and St. Louis, right, were your 2 picks in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And they're limping there. So you think, okay, the Cubs ought to get out of the divisional series with relative ease. And then you talk about you look at Washington, who's been phonies forever. And then the Dodgers are about as beat up pitching staff-wise as it can be. It looks almost too good to be true because it looks like the Cubs should get to the World Series because the NL is just all limping.
I watched this movie before.
I know what you're saying. That's what I'm saying.
I was alive in 84. I watched in 03. I watched in 2007. I was there in 2008. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. At least you don't.
That's what I'm saying because you're talking about jinxing. I'm saying that I understand because the NL specifically, it looks like the Cubs should get to the World Series because it seems like the entire NL is limping to the end of the
in
season.
In theory, yes, but unfortunately, the baseball gods are not going to make it that easy. The Cubs are going to have to go out and earn this thing.
Maybe the baseball gods are tired of waiting 100 and whatever years.
I think all of us, well, I don't know about the White Sox fans, but most of us are. Let's put it that way.
No, I'm tired of them. Oh, 2005. Shut up. 10 years ago.
11.
Whatever. What have you done for me lately? Sports is a what have you done for me lately department.
Well,
okay.
Well, that's fine for the White Sox fans, but, you know, you guys literally have done nothing since, and, I mean, you can't even make the playoffs. And boy, if they don't fire
Ventura,
I give up. I'm not a White Sox. But seriously, just from my perspective.
It's a whole beef podcast.
It's if you don't fire Ventura now, one, Kenny Williams is fully in charge and Hircon's a puppet. Two, I don't know what you're doing.
Not winning. That's what they're
Jesus.
Doing. Not winning. All right, let's talk some NFL here with some fantasy football thrown in. It's the first week, Pops. I guess we're done with all but 3 games, Sunday night and the double Monday night.
Yep.
So 1 week. Fantasy-wise, I guess, what's your perspective? Like, for me, obviously a big one, and for everyone, Keenan Allen. Again, looks like he's done for the season. I have him on both of our leagues, so I'm crossing my fingers that it is not an ACL tear.
I didn't realize it was that bad, but it's unfortunate from the year he had as his rookie and then what he was going to do last year, you know, and then he was on a rampage last year, and then he got hurt, and then you just expect, well, they're going to chuck the ball because really nobody really knows what they have with Gordon, and you have Woodhead. It's really disappointing, but unfortunately in this type of game, it's a physical game. People get hurt, and again, especially Blair in the Dynasty League, because nobody knows what we're doing here, to be honest with you. Anybody does say, I think they're fooling themselves. Injuries last year played a major role in things, and it continues from my perspective. It seems like the amount of injuries and the impact, certainly on football teams, definitely in fantasy, just continues to get ratcheted up, and it's just, can you get the guy that to replace those guys? And, you know, that's the key. And that, I mean, that's a big one for you. That was, what, your first draft pick, right?
In the Keeper League, it was. So my third round pick. In the Dynasty League, I think it was my second pick because I went Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen with my first two picks.
Well, you got Allen on how many teams? Two?
Both, yes.
I got Moncrief on four teams. So, one, I probably need to go out and buy a
Dante. You just caught another pass.
I need to go out and get a Dante Moncrief jersey. Two, you know, if something happens to him, I'm effing screwed too, but... boy, how about, you know, I screwed the pooch in not getting Ware, and I admit that. Tyler has him.
Yes.
Well, what an opening week. Unbelievable.
Right.
I don't remember him being that good of a receiver, but he had like 100 yards receiving. Here's the problem,
yes,
though.
Yes.
It, you know, it's not like when Charles comes back, you're going to tell Ware, take a back seat. You're now going to, that's a, probably a running back by committee, which decreases the value of Ware and likely decreases the value of my keeper, Charles, which means.
Yes.
That's the reason I got Murray, because I love DeMarco Murray as my number three. I think he's going to get opportunities in Tennessee to be a good starting running back, and I think Anderson looks like he's going to be the main focal point for the Denver offense. I picked Bernard. You can argue about that.
Yeah, because Tyler's trying to – I was telling Tyler about it, and he was like, well, you know, they like Booker. And I said, yeah, but I think Kubiak's going to – it doesn't matter if they have two guys or not. They're going to run the rock a lot.
Yeah,
you have him on the Keeper League. I'm on the Dynasty League. And I know it's only one game, but I took it as a pretty good sign that he had 94 rushing yards against Panthers, because that's pretty good defense.
That, and he had caught a 25-yard touchdown pass. He's got good hands. He is the best blocking back Denver has.
Always going to be
so
important with a young
that's
QB.
Key. Yeah. And he's supposedly in the best shape he's been in, which means that he's obviously might. I know he signed a contract, but I think he knows he has to. He has to earn this and prove it that they made the right choice. So we'll see, you know, as far as with Ware and Jamal Charles going forward. Boy, Cook, really good preseason. This looked like a good matchup.
That's his M.O.
Jesus. I don't know what to do. I might have to come up with a tight end. Literally, I'll almost take any. I mean, if you're available, I'll plug you into my lineup for this guy because there's no consistency from this guy.
TDs.
Somebody has to.
So
catch a pass, will you?
No, week one for fantasy. Here's some scores for you, Pops. We'll go over some just quick reactions of. I know it's the first week here, but Bills lose to the Ravens 13-7.
Lead their offense in Tatanka?
Started Tyrod Taylor. You tell me what the hell happened. And
I don't know. Is this the Baltimore Raven defense of 10 years ago? I thought it was the Baltimore Raven defense now that just is not very good. That's Sexy Rexy and his, like, he's going to get canned.
Yes.
He might make it further than Daryl Hazel. Because right. If they don't do anything, they're going to whack him.
Yes. I'm gonna run through a few scores here. We'll do some reactions. I know it's only week one, but some of these still stand out as really surprising. That was one. The Bengals win on a last-minute field goal, 23-22 over the Jets. Raiders win on a missed field goal after going for two, 35-34. Chiefs get down 21 points, win 33-27 over the Chargers in overtime.
I don't think anybody thought that, Blair, because most people thought the San Diego's defense was good.
Right?
Excuse me, the San Diego offense wouldn't be able to do anything against the Chiefs, and they get up, what, 21-3, 24-3?
They were up 21, I think, in the second half.
And then the Chiefs come back. It says something about what the Chiefs have with Ware, and my prediction is Jamal Charles will probably be released after this year because you got Ware and West. But San Diego apparently he's got some. They got some talent, and then Gordon had a nice game. Woodhead had a really good game.
Well, the reports from the game are is that San Diego was in cruise mode because I think it was 21-3. Keenan Allen goes down, and then they lose 33-27.
Yeah, that's a problem. But you know,
and they lost. Remember, they lost Stevie Johnson, who was supposed to be the other starter going into the preseason.
I got it. Go get James Jones. He's on their team.
I thought they cut him.
Okay, on second thought, don't get James Jones. That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
If Benjamin, what's his last
Travis
name?
Benjamin.
Travis Benjamin wasn't drafted, obviously get him. Here's another one for you. The powerhouse that is the Dolphins lose at Seattle 12-10.
I think they said the Seattle offensive line
Swiss cheese.
Is costing them $9 million versus the Dolphins' defensive line cost $40 million, which means they just have a bunch of slugs up there, which means you're going to get Russell Wilson killed.
Aren't you glad you don't have him this year?
Yeah, I thought about keeping him, but I think the best decision I made was, and Tyler was like beating me in the head with taking Thomas Rawls. The problem is one, he's Michael's going to get carries because somehow Seattle's infatuated with him.
Michael's is the leading rusher today.
But the problem is if you only have 9 million simoleons in your offensive line nowadays, you got a bunch of stiffs there. It means you can't protect Russell Wilson, and you probably are not going to be able to generate a running game, which means no matter what talent you have on there, whether it's Doug Baldwin had a good game or I don't know what Graham did, that offense is going to be in trouble.
He had one catch for 11 yards. Graham did. The rushing went – Michael had 15 carries for 66 yards. Rawls had 12 for 32.
I think where they've got all their money or a lot of their money in the defense, that's fine, but you're going to have the defense not only stopping people but maybe lining up and playing offense and scoring some touchdowns because – if you don't have an offensive line, you got problems.
Really surprising week one. Giants beat the Cowboys 20-19.
That sounds about right.
Prescott 25-45 for 227 yards.
Found Dez Bryant once, 8 yards.
Elliott had 20 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown.
How the hell did you get one catch unless the Giants had 6 guys on him?
Let me double check here to see if that's what he finished with. 1 for 8. He didn't find a ball again. 5 targets. Jason Witten had 14 targets.
Well, that suggests that the Giants were bracketing Dez.
I mean, I would.
And they said the Giants' defense was supposed to be better, and then after I laughed, I was like, sure.
Well, I mean, Elliott, 20 carries, 51 yards. He had a touchdown, and then he had one catch for 1 yard.
If you remember, the Giants spent like $600 billion on the free agents this year. Maybe they actually figured it out.
Wow, that's surprising. I know that it's a rivalry game. On the Giants side, Jennings, 18 carries, 75 yards.
Said he was supposed to be pretty good this year.
Vereen had 6 carries. Kind of a little surprising. Shepard, 3 carries, 43 yards, touchdown. I'm going to need him in Dynasty with Allen going down.
Okay, but how many catches did he get?
3.
Oh.
4 targets.
Said rushes.
No.
Okay.
Beckham, 4 catches, 8 targets, 73 yards.
I'd like
no
to know
scores.
What Victor Cruz did.
4 catches, 34 yards, a touchdown on 4 targets.
The problem is, Blair, Victor Cruz is going to get his catches, and everybody thought a month ago they said Shepard was running with the number ones.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, ta-da! Cruz shows up, and it's like, he gets the starting nod, and then that kind of somewhat decreases Shepard's value.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but doesn't it surprise you? Like, in today's age, in NFL especially, with how little the leash is for people, that they let Cruz, they kept Cruz for that long? Because I think it was his first game in like 700 days, which means it was more than 2 years.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Almost 2 years.
Typically, now the way teams go nowadays, you don't really give them that much of an opportunity, to stay around. By then, you're just like, you're done. This guy can't stay healthy. But I don't know. Maybe
Allen.
Cruz has pictures on the Giants owner, and he's like, we can't let this guy go. He'll expose everything. I don't know. I mean, but he's talented. He's just there's no way in God's green earth that he is what he was when he was scoring touchdown. What dance did he do? The salsa? Okay, that. He doesn't necessarily have to be because he has. What did Beckham do today?
4 catches, 73 yards, no scores.
Well, good luck to all you people who drafted him.
8 targets. Well, now, especially now because they had 4 targets for Cruz. He caught all 4. He scored. Shepard had 3 catches on, I think I said 5 targets. He scored.
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't the Dallas defense, we were laughing at it?
2019, that's final score.
I would think.
Well, from what I read,
that's the baffling offense of the
But from what I read in the first quarter, which NFL quarters 15 minutes, Dallas held the ball for like 12 and a half of the first quarter.
And they couldn't score. They couldn't find the end zone.
Apparently not. 2019 final score. Dallas.
So, you know, it's opening week. Things will change.
Stupid Buffalo.
Tatanka. Again, it's right. That team was
the Ryan.
I think he came.
They doubled down on Ryan's this year, Pops.
So they got both.
Yeah. His brother's the defensive coordinator. Remember the Saints canned him and said it was his fault that their team is so bad, not the lack of talent or the cap nightmare.
Well, okay, he's. I don't think the.
I'm not
Rob
saying that
Ryan
he's not
really
great.
The best defensive
no,
coordinator.
No, but I mean, come on.
Well, that's what they're saying. That Mickey Loomis. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. Not. Is and the reason that they renegotiated Drew Brees' contract was that they want to make another run to the Super Bowl, and I'm like. In your dreams, because you guys can't find people.
They lost to Oakland today. Remember when the Saints never lost at home?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Ballsy call by Del Rio.
Anywho, yeah, I think this is the Rex Ryan curse on Buffalo, because before he come in, whether he was 7-9 or something like that, 6-10, they looked really competitive. He took a really good defense and managed to screw it up. And last
apparently
year
Tyrod Taylor really good. You're gonna screw that one
and
up.
And Taylor looked like the next thing, kind of sort of to have in fantasy. And he looked like they signed him to a contract. And McCoy had a pretty solid game today.
Yeah.
And you managed to get 7 points out of that. So I don't know who the offensive coordinator is in Buffalo. Please don't tell me it's Rex Ryan's sister.
It is.
That would explain that. That's what it is.
Okay, so before we make some playoff picks, how about, I guess we'll take a quick look because we kind of went through most of the opening week slate. So you've got Cardinals and Patriots tonight.
I would think Cardinals win that one easy.
I would kind of hope so. If they're supposed to be as good as we think, with Jimmy G starting, you would think that they could take it because they got a good defense. You would think that they could throw some things at him that confuse them.
I would think, yes. He doesn't have Gronk, and I found it funny that people were like, what's that going to do without Gronkowski? Gronk didn't play the whole damn preseason. So how could you sit there and say it's going to take... How could somebody that didn't play take something away from a guy that never had him to play with? Could you explain this to me?
Yes. Well, this is sort of unrelated. When Scott tweeted about starting Stafford, was he talking about Garoppolo? Because he said Jimmy, and he said the offensive line. What the hell is it? He shouldn't start Jimmy Garoppolo all season. I hate that guy.
He's a New England fan.
I hate that guy.
He's his friend.
That team's a joke, and he asked some of the dumbest questions.
He's your friend. What do you want me to do?
I'm just saying
you're stupid. I can't give advice to stupid people.
I'm not saying he's dumb. I said he asked some of the dumbest
questions.
You said
he's stupid.
I said he asked some of the dumbest questions.
Well, obviously he needs guidance.
He doesn't. His team's ridiculous. He plays in a league that's a joke.
He traded for Russell Wilson and got it for nothing. He gave away crap to get Russell Wilson because his other quarterback was... I can't remember, but...
It's a joke!
That league, he should win every year.
Yes!
He plays with even guys that are even dumber.
That's what I'm saying!
No offense, Scott, if you actually listen to this.
No, I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm saying he asked some dumb questions. Jimmy Garoppolo should never have been considered
to
start.
Remember, 2 years ago, he wanted to trade... What was it?
Thomas for Bennett.
Demaryius Thomas, he had Bennett. He asked me, I said, don't make the trade. He made the trade.
But
the
league vetoed.
Was up in arms, vetoed it, and he kept Demaryius Thomas, which was the move to do anyway.
Oh, man. How about the Monday night slate?
I think Pittsburgh should win. I think Washington's not going to have as good a year.
Norman's going to get exposed because he's not as good as everyone thinks.
Right.
He's a zone. He's a zone corner, not a man
apparently
corner.
Apparently he's doing something with Fox. He's hosting a game, or he's doing pregame or something?
I don't care. He's kind of an idiot.
Only Washington would do that because Snyder's an idiot. And
that team was overrated last year, too. They're going to come falling back to earth.
Yes, and if you like offense, you might want to skip second game.
Oh, it's
Rams and the Niners.
I'm disappointed. I have the Rams defense on one of the leagues.
I think you'll be happy with that.
I hope so, because I have the Vikings defense on that league, and the Vikings defense scored more points today than the Titans
Vikings
did.
Vikings defense should be started. That's typically, Blair, that's the defense I was going for when I saw Houston.
Well, I mean, can you fault me for thinking
epiphany?
Can you fault me for thinking L.A. against San Francisco? Oh, I love this matchup.
Okay, I'll trade Houston for the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm good with my two.
That's actually pretty good defense, and you just play matchups.
I'm not denying it. I like my two.
I think going forward, will you stick with the Vikings? Because to me, that is the next. I don't know if there's ever going to be a dominating defense like we saw in Seattle, but that is a really good Minnesota defense. It's young. It's only going to get better.
No, I agree. I get my thought process was because you have Murray, I figured, you know, the Titans have more talent than San Francisco does, at least on the offensive
side.
Well,
the thing that I saw, Blair, was they said Vikings gave up the 12th fewest rushing yards, but the fourth most touchdowns to running backs, and that's kind of what was.
That's weird.
It's a bizarre stat, yeah. But that, hey, if you believe in stats, there's a stat for you.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to see that because I mean that's the reason I have the both of them. So I hope that San Francisco or the LA scores at least a touchdown. But if I mean that could be a move. It's only week one in fantasy. That could be one of those weeks where I'm like, ah, we would have started the Vikings, would have won.
Okay, over under and when the Niners score a touchdown this week, next week.
So you want October. A quarter mark? You want a quarter or a minute?
I don't want. Just tell me what game.
Oh, the game. Okay.
Yeah, this game, next game, or October.
Well, I got to know their schedule because I'm banking pretty hard. You said touchdown, right?
A touchdown.
Because I'm thinking they still might get bageled against L.A. Because let's be honest, I mean,
get it's, the schedule up, and I'll tell you,
Jeff Fisher shouldn't have a job, but the defense is pretty good.
Because I think you, I don't know. Granted, we're early enough that I think my October pick is really the most preposterous. But we got to see the schedule. I'm not saying it's not completely inconceivable. I just think it's probably the biggest joke of the whole thing. If they don't score till October, boy, you got a story.
Is there a group of players that'll toast some beers like the undefeated Dolphins?
I don't think anybody's gonna do this. There's not one of those ominous records.
Did you ever hear that joke about? Because well, it was Tampa, and obviously Detroit went 0-16. But somebody made a joke that every year, once every team won, that the what year was that Tampa team that went winless?
That was 76.
That they got together and they'd crack open beers and cheers them because their record stayed intact.
Detroit's 0-16. They got the record.
I said before that.
I don't know. I'm waiting for a book. Waiting for a book to come
devastating
out on the
listen.
70. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Exactly.
Okay. I'm waiting. There's a book coming out on the 76 Yuck season. I'd love to read it because John McKay was great at quotes. My favorite is, "Coach, what do you think about your team's execution?" He said, "I'm all for it."
Are you ready for this?
So my October thing is not that preposterous, apparently. By
would you like to know their first three? So their first three games, yeah, their first three games will take them to the October 2nd because okay. That's game four. You ready for the first three?
Give them to me.
Home against L.A.
Okay.
At Carolina.
Okay.
At Seattle.
I'm going October.
Dallas in Fort San Francisco. Oh, my gosh.
First touchdown, October.
So if Dallas manages to hold them, and Dallas kept New York to 19, and they're pretty good offense, 20. Right? No, Dallas won 2019.
Oh, the Giants won.
So if Dallas does it, here, you ready for this? So Dallas is week four. Okay. That's October 2nd.
All right.
They then play the Cardinals in San Francisco, and I know we're making jokes. They play at Buffalo week six.
That's going to where they're going to score. I think they'll score 20 at Buffalo. I'd say October.
I'm just.
That's when San Francisco scored the first touchdown.
I'm just saying, if the Cowboys manage to keep them without a touchdown, and I know we're making fun of Buffalo, Buffalo could do it.
A little bit.
Then you're looking at potentially week seven where Tampa Bay goes to San Francisco.
I got the Niners in the worst of the worst. Right?
I got Titans.
You have Titans, and Tyler has the Clowns.
Cleveland.
Okay. We'll see.
Wow.
Cleveland didn't do anything to make me think they're going to be much better. Tennessee certainly looks like the best of the bunch.
They have the most talent, I would argue.
Yeah, they better be.
Wow. I thought when you said October, I was like, no. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, yeah, maybe. Maybe. Those are three of the better defenses.
Well, I threw it out just as a level of preposterity and simple fact that that's just my offbeat nature. But, I mean, it obviously.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you. I'm taking October. What are you taking?
It's hard to argue with that.
Okay,
the Dallas game is October 2nd. That would seem fair. I mean, I know that the Seattle team offensively seems to have a bunch of holes in it.
Okay, this is offensive touchdowns. I'm not talking defense score.
I got you.
I'm not talking special teams. I'm saying offensive touchdown.
I don't think you can pick against October 2nd, which is the Dallas game.
You heard it here first, folks. We're saying Niners don't score an offensive touchdown until October.
Week four.
There you go.
That's rough. Okay, let's make some playoff picks here real fast, and then we'll
get to
the
beef.
You got a major
beef section, right?
I mean, the whole podcast has pretty much been beef.
You got more beef than the Kansas City Stockyard.
I mean, it's not my fault people say stupid stuff all the time.
Okay, good. So, picks.
Okay, we'll do the AFC first. So, I don't remember. Where are your division winners for the AFC? Pittsburgh,
New England, Houston, and Denver.
Right. So, who are your wild cards then?
I'll say the Bungles, and I guess I'll go with the Chefs.
And then what's your seeding?
I'll just give you my division chances because we're gonna just to make it small as possible. Well, I'm going to take.
You could have set them all by the time it took you to finish
Pittsburgh,
that sentence.
Here's the AFC Championship team. Pittsburgh and New England. And I think Pittsburgh wins.
Are they, just out of curiosity, you said you weren't going to be seeded, but are those the 1 and 2 seeds, I'm assuming?
Yeah, because I think that Denver's going to find that, I know everything went well with C.J. Anderson. It's going to be more difficult with a rookie quarterback.
Right, okay. And then on the NFC side, well, okay, so for my AFC, I will take, man, it's so hard for me to pick against the Colts. I think they beat Detroit, but it took like a last-minute drive. So New England, Pittsburgh, I agree with. Denver, I'm going to take. And then I think I'll take Houston. I don't feel great about that. Then I'll take Indy and Cincinnati. And I will take Pittsburgh and I'm going to go with New England. I don't think Oswald is going to get in there. So I'll take the same thing. And I have them as the 1 and 2 seeds as well.
Okay.
NFC?
I'm going to go Dallas, Carolina,
right.
Packers, and Arizona. Seattle, wild card, and
Minnesota.
Well, there's nobody else.
There really isn't.
Minnesota.
Okay, so
I think the defense will get them there.
I think so, too. I mean, it's not like they were flinging the ball around last year.
That's not their offense. It's Peterson.
That's what I'm saying. So, in the championship game,
Packers and Carolina.
And yeah, I'll take all of your six. And
Packers.
I think I'll take that six.
Packers.
Yeah, I think Rodgers on a mission this year. Who you got out of the AFC?
I took Pittsburgh.
So you got Packers, Pittsburgh. It's a rematch of Rodgers' first Super Bowl.
Yeah,
well,
I think
only
I'll
Super
take
Bowl.
Pittsburgh. Super Bowl team.
Give me New England, Carolina in that rematch, and I'm gonna take New England.
You can.
I don't feel great about that, but I'm gonna take that. Okay, let's do.
Wait a minute, let me get strapped in. You might be coming after me too. I don't know.
Nah, I already beat you this week in fantasy. So
that's
good.
Enough.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's our last segment.
Can I have another one?
Yeah. It's our last segment. It's called We Got Beef.
Where's the beef?
So I got a couple, so I'll let you do the one that you had.
I mean, I don't know if you watched Carolina game with Denver, but obviously there were several questionable calls, and apparently
yes.
The refs misplaced their yellow flags and was stuck down in their underwear, and they couldn't get anything. One in particular, I remember the guy was a helmet to helmet. The guy hit Cam Newton on the crown of the helmet, knocked him down. He was down on the ground, and nobody come out. I mean, the
no.
Carolina doctors didn't come out. The refs were kind of like going around blowing their whistles, like looking at the sky. Boy, this is a nice evening. When clearly they should have did something. The NFL and their hypocrisy talk about safety. They'll run commercials and say football's safe. Just if you see a guy, he doesn't remember who he is. Don't ignore that. But when it comes to actually having the opportunity to be safe, they're not. They screwed it up. Someone even suggested a conspiracy theory, Blair, that they thought when a star gets hit like that, like Newton, that maybe the NFL is kind of telling the refs, no, call a concussion. Tell him he has a bellyache, you know, because they don't want to admit this.
I could buy that one.
And I don't know, but that's the weirdest thing. But could you believe the NFL are as much of money-grubbing, lying scumbags as any other large corporation.
I mean, it was the first game of the season, so
right.
I could totally buy
Primetime
it.
TV, the last thing they want to say is Cam Newton has a he stubbed his toe.
Well, what do you think about the arguments that some people, because the new thing they said is he's getting the Shaq treatment because he's so imposing.
I don't care. I listened to Mike Ferrer come on and say there's extenuating circumstances of making calls, and you could understand. I don't care, because if you're really for safety, he's still a quarterback, no matter if he's 300
See,
pounds.
That's
a quarterback's a quarterback. You're supposed to be protecting him. Helmet-to-helmet hit is supposed to be flagged.
See, that's what I'm saying, too, because then I've seen other people have made the argument that since he runs so often that runners are treated differently. And
shouldn't
I
matter.
Disagree, because if Tom Brady managed to scamper down the field for 4 yards and got popped in the helmet, there's a flag.
It shouldn't matter.
So it doesn't matter if Cam Newton's running the ball. If his helmet gets hit by another helmet, it's a flag, according to the NFL.
My rest of my beef is this. Congratulations, NFL. Primetime game, a really good game. You guys are talking about safety, but we need an opportunity to show the nation, hey, we are at least trying to legislate this rubbish out. You let this crap goes on, and no one did anything to Cam Newton. So way to go, NFL. You suck.
Way to take the bad news out of a good thing, right? They find
yes.
a way to get bad publicity all the time.
They screw it up all the time, and people come back for more.
Mine, and that was one of mine. My other one, and this one's smaller, his name's Hawk something?
Hawk Harrelson.
Now, I don't remember talking a whole lot about him. I remember I got on him one time. I can't stand him. I think he's a blowhard. I don't think he's a good announcer, and I know that your announcers are your fans, your team. I got it, but Pops, I know that it might sound a little bit biased, but I think one of the reasons that we like it's Casper, and then who was the one that went back to Arizona?
Brenly.
The reason we like them is because they were good, but they said intelligent things. They yes. gave you analysis of the game.
They're so objective.
Yes. Hawk is not that.
No.
And my beef, and I realize I'm a couple weeks late with this, but it came back up to my attention this past week, is he was quoted as comparing, he was quoted comparing Todd Frazier to Chris Bryant. And if that doesn't, I mean, if you didn't already not like this guy, I mean, I don't know how that doesn't put the nail in the coffin, because it's a joke. It is a ridiculous, it shouldn't be brought up in a sentence, it shouldn't be a thought, and it's just, I can't stand it, because that's what makes announcing so bad, and we criticize it all the time. Those are one of the reasons that you watch games on mute, because of stupid
hey,
stuff
I
like that.
I started that in this family.
I'm not disputing it. That's one of the reasons why.
There's very few announcers I like listening to. He's not one of them.
Say intelligent things. I get that you're employed by your team, but you can be objective. You can say intelligent things that add to the game, as opposed to, oh, Todd Frazier, Chris Bryant.
The problem is, well, the White Sox like to hire old White Sox players, and there's a loyalty factor, and this breeds this kind of crap.
I'm not saying he has to say fire Ventura, but I mean, have some intelligent thoughts.
On occasion, he does. The problem is, he says more of this stuff where he sticks his foot in his mouth, and he's just like, what are you trying to say?
That's my beef, because he's an idiot. That's my thoughts. I hate that guy. I can't stand him as an announcer. I think he's super annoying, and I've run into this issue several times where his fandom trumps his, what I consider, an on-air announcer, so I think it trumps his job, which
That's
is
him.
Ridiculous to me.
That's Harrelson.
Yes, that's a whole lot of beef. Yes. There's a lot of venting in this podcast.
Yes, like I said, we got more beef this week in the Kansas City Stockyard.
So we're going to the last week of fantasy baseball. Are you going to have another waiver claim, or are you done?
Working on it.
Okay, and then, of course, Tyler did waiver claims for football. You did starts and sits, so check those out. I'm going to write something maybe on Purdue football,
right?
Criticizing them. I got to do that, too. I'm got to figure out what I'm going to talk about this week, about how devastated I am about Keenan Allen.
I think that's a big one, Blair, and I think you ought to also write about what kind of an opening week Ware had.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not – yes, we'll see. I haven't decided – this is the interesting week, because it decides how – it sort of leans how I write it the rest of the year.
You know, we're really becoming your home for fantasy information.
I mean, we've always been pretty good about football.
No, but we're all writing articles, so now it's like we're kind of like the fantasy huddle here.
ThreeSportsCuds.com.
Yep.
It's all up there. I mean, we've done previews. We do starts and sits. We do waiver claims. I write from a perspective of an owner. I mean, I had injuries last year, but they weren't bench guys. Cause, I mean, I was starting Blunt and Lewis, and there were other guys, but this one hurts. Like, he was supposed to be one of those top four pillars that Barry talks
Unfortunately,
about.
Unfortunately, it's not going to get any better.
I hope, injuries is injuries. 3sportsguns.com, check out the blog for all the fantasy stuff, especially football.
Remember that if you don't make the playoffs, okay? I don't want to hear you complaining to me, because you say I complain
from the
much.
Guy who bitched about it all season.
No.
Thank you to our on-site producer, Rick Mason. We're in partnership with My Retro Radio. It's the Brushback Pitches podcast presented by 3sportsguns. The Two Gunthers, Blair,
Harold.
Catch you next week.
Join us next time for the Brushback Pitches. Find us online at 3sportsguns.com. That's the number 3sportsguns.com. This has been a Gunther Sports and Entertainment production in association with My Retro Radio.